number 7. Sing long, loud and strong. Amen. The Lord our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no fears of fright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Amen.
Pastor. Let's come to the Lord and pray. Father, thank you for this blessed morning, the first day of the week. Lord God, it belongs to you for giving us a place to worship you, for your congregation, Lord God, for being here in the first day of the week to fellowship with one another, to hear from your word, to know more about you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us this place. May you bless our services today, even the evening service tonight. I pray for those that are on their way that you keep them safe and watch over them. Thank you, Lord God, for our visitors that are here this morning that are just visiting. Help us, Lord God, to welcome them. Help us, Lord God, to help them to feel at home. Help them to show them, Lord God, this is a place where you are worshiped. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Announcements. First, just want to thank everyone for yesterday's work day. We had a great work day here, trying to get things cleaned up and organized so that we can start some new children's classes and adult classes out here in our area out there. And we had a good day, good time, some good food. So if you missed it, we're going to start having that maybe once a month until we get everything organized. And then we plan on starting a track ministry, going out door knocking on Saturdays also. So there's plans in the works for all of those things. And we'll keep everybody up to date on that coming soon. 31st, we're going to have a business meeting. We'll be going over the church finances. The Lord has blessed our church, and we're in good shape. So we praise Him for that. Amen. And there are a lot of thanks goes to our pastor, our former pastor. Amen. He was a stickler for making sure things got taken care of. We appreciate him for that. We really do. There are also will be a motion before our membership for Pastor Belaris as far as his salary is concerned. So it's an important meeting. And so if you're a member of our church, make sure you're here for that meeting. Make sure you're here. Let's see. The only other message I have is children under the age of 8 will have a children's class, and that will be after the special music. They can go out into the other building, and there will be a children's class for them. Let's see. Is there anything else I've forgotten? How about we have a scripture reading? Amen. Brother Roger.
Good morning. Our scripture will be in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. I was looking through my Facebook and I saw this really applies to a lot of our peace officers that are being killed and everything else and trying to protect us in our country. They are going through an awful lot of headaches and heartaches. And I just saw this on Facebook with a police officer that really wanted to use this psalm to spread the word around to all our peace officers. We need them, we thank God for them, and we would not do very well without them. Amen. It's Psalm 91, if you want to read along with me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste. At noonday, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. May God add a blessing to His holy word.
Now we have a special by Brother Johnny. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I love my Lord Jesus. And you know what? Wherever I go, whenever I have an opportunity, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to honor His precious name. And like these two dear saints in His song, I'm going to bless His name forevermore. Please. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed their night, and in their pain they begin to see their chain would lose, then they were free. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name in the midnight. Oh, if you should find that you're in a prison in your own mind, this is what you do. Just reach out and pray. And they will fall, oh, in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you the honor, my Lord, I give you. You are my life, the truth, the way. And I'll bless your name. Yes, I'll bless your name.
Right, if everyone would turn over to 452, we're going to sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. We're going to have our offering now, and during the offering, Sister Kelly is going to play the guitar for us during that time.
Thank you.
You haven't been around here for a long time. I can't help but smile, and you know, because Kelly was a little girl like this with the guitar when she was little, and Pastor used to have her come up and she would strum her guitar and sing. And now look, you know, it's such a blessing, such a blessing. And so we really appreciate that, Kelly. Amen. I should have had everybody stand during that offering. We're still trying to get things settled, but hey, as long as we're here to worship the Lord, that's what's important, and we're doing that from our hearts, you know, so the Lord knows. Amen. So now the men's choir is going to come, and we didn't practice this one, but we're gonna sing for you guys. Man.
There we go.
Hey, and I'm the pastor.
Yeah, Brother
Mac. I'm the pastor.
Are you sure you're curious now?
Hey.
David, just send the right way.
Still organizing.
It's not home.
It's on.
What are we singing?
His truth is marching on.
Amen.
Good.
I think so.
All right, amen. I guess the only thing that's left is the getting to that word, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Pastor.
Amen. You can tell we practice a lot, right? Amen. But you know what? Though, that's what a church is about. You know, it doesn't have to be all perfect and, you know, everything in order and in place and everything spick and span. No, the church is the people.
Amen.
Comprised of sinners.
Amen.
Forgiven by grace. That's what the church is. We'll eventually, you know, get the order going. It's, you know, it's my first month as a pastor, and we're getting the program going for every service, and we'll get there. Just pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
I think the man did a good job.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Children, they have a class. If you have any kids in the back, please escort them towards the back. Please stand with me. Turn to Acts chapter 5 on our God's Word. We've been preaching now for maybe 2 or 3 months for this church. And for those of you that have been here in every service, I do have a way of preparing my messages and preaching my my outlines. It's a little bit different from the way I was taught in the seminary. Acts chapter 5. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here, starting with verse 29, and we'll close with verse 39, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. Acts chapter 5, if you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand, and a brother or sister will share with you. Anybody not have a Bible? Acts chapter 5, verse 29 to verse 39. Let's start, beginning with verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Verse 32, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as men as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as men as obeyed him, were dispersed." Verse 38 says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone." I want you to notice the last phrase of verse 38 and verse 39, "For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught."
Amen.
Verse 39, "If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even," there's your title of the message, "to fight against God." To fight against God. Let's come to the Lord and pray. Father, I pray as you open up your holy word in front of sinful people, being spoken and interpreted by a sinful man who is only saved by your grace, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are grateful, Lord God, and we are honored to be here in the midst of you, in the midst of the Holy Spirit that is present in this congregation. Father, I pray that you be the teacher, you be the preacher, you be the healer this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have done in our church this whole year. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the worst things, one of the things that I abhor face to face with is when I go into a wrestling match. For those of you that know me, I about the only sport that I follow is wrestling. I train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I have been for several years. But one of the things that I abhor is when I go to a competition and I come to meet who I'm competing against. Last month, I went into the First Responders Olympics, the National Olympics, and you look at the record of who's going to be competing and who you're paired up against. And I'm 37 years old. I weigh about 165 pounds, and I weigh in at 165. And the first thing I look for is, who am I going up against? And then comes this young man, 27 years old, bulked up in his shoulders, and he's about 3 feet taller than me. And he comes to me and he said, how much did you weigh during the weigh-in? Did you weigh in at least 185? I'm like, 185? No, I'm 165. And he told me that he weighed in at 195, but he had to cut weight to be in my division. And one of the things that I abhor is coming into a wrestling match only to find out who I am up against. In our text, before we get to the message, in my messages, I do several sections of my messages. I start off with a historical background of the text. And then I go over the doctrinal implications and applications of the text. And then I do an exposition of a text, and it will make a spiritual application from our text. Go back to Acts chapter 5 once again with me. Let me give you the background of the book of Acts. Before we turn to Acts chapter 5, can I remind you that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ had just resurrected and had ascended. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. I'll show you the historical background of the text that we just read. Verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. At this time, Jesus Christ had just resurrected and was giving his last words to his apostles. If you look at verse 7 of chapter 1, he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But if you look at verse 8, he gives them the power. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto them both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, the context of our text is a post-resurrection and post-ascension. Okay? The second thing that we see throughout the book of Acts is this was the beginning of church growth. If you go to verse 13 of chapter 1, once again, slide down to verse 13 of our text. We'll get to our message. You'll eventually see how I prepare my messages. Okay? You look at verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both, well, the 12 apostles. Look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. If you look at verse 15, it says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, look at this, the number of the names together were about 120. So he went from 12 to 120. If you go to chapter 2, verse 41, you'll see the growth of the church. Go to chapter 2, verse 41. As we look at the context of the book of Acts, so that we can properly tackle and expose Acts chapter 5. If you look at chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them how many? 3,000. About 3,000. It went from 120 to 3,000. Now go to chapter 4, verse 4. Go to chapter 4, verse 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. Look at chapter, let me see here. Look at chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Okay, another concept that I want us to grasp is this. Go back to chapter 1 again, verse 6. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. This is the context of the book of Acts is the initial growth and the expansion of the church. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come, what does that say? Come together. You see that? Go to chapter 10, verse 27. Go to chapter 10, verse 27. I want you to see this context. And if you have time, study this on your own. Acts chapter 10, verse 27. You'll see this concept of coming together. Acts chapter 10, verse 27. Look at this. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. We'll go to chapter 19, verse 32. Acts chapter 19, verse 32. Are you still with me? I'm trying to establish, I'm trying to give us a background of the book of Acts, okay? Acts chapter 19, verse 32. Look at this. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore. And what does that say? They were come together. Chapter 21, verse 22. Chapter 21, verse 22. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. And then finally, go to chapter 28, verse 17. We'll see the characteristic of this church is that they came together. Look at verse 17, the last one right here. Acts chapter 28. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come, I'm sorry, what does that say? Together. You see, the first characteristic of this early church, the first necessary requirement for the church to grow is that the believers must first come together. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says what? Not forsaking the assembling of one another as the manner of some is. Amen. You cannot live a Christian life by yourself. You need to come to church. A church is where you grow. A church is where you begin to fellowship and you begin to learn how to love, where you learn how to forgive and you learn from the Word of God. You cannot grow as a Christian by yourself away from the church. You need to come. We need to come together. Amen? Well, that's the background of the book of Acts. Let's talk about the doctrinal implications of the book of Acts. Amen? You still with me? Now, the book of Acts is a transitional book that you need to pay attention to, that you need to handle carefully, okay? There are certain transitional books in the Bible that you need to pay a very careful attention to. One of them is the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So when you handle the book of Matthew, you have to handle the book of Matthew with care. Okay? The second transitional book that you'll find in the Bible, in the New Testament, is the book of Acts. The book of Acts transitions from the Gospels to the Pauline epistles. Amen. Now, every transitional book you need to handle with care. And here's why. Did you know that the book of Acts is the most referred to book in the Bible by cults? It is. Majority of false teaching and false doctrines come from the book of Acts. And the reason is this: they are using the book of Acts as if it is a doctrinal book when it's not a doctrinal book. The book of Acts is a historical book that gives you the account of what happens in the early church. Our doctrine comes from the teachings of Apostle Paul, from Romans, from 1 Corinthians, to 2 Corinthians, to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. But there are churches, the cults, they refer to the book of Acts as their source of their teaching and their doctrine. Let me give you an example. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Look at this text. Look at this verse with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. One of the verses that's used by cults is this verse. You look at this verse. This verse says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." You know who uses this verse? The Church of Christ does. And every church that preaches that you need to be baptized in order to be saved, guess what verse they refer to? Exactly this verse. And they use the book of Acts as a source of their teaching and their doctrine. But the book of Acts, handle it with care, because it is not a doctrinal book. It is a historical book. Another thing that's used by the cults are when it comes to miracles. We're talking about the charismatics in our Sunday school. Guess what text they often refer to in order to teach healing and speaking in tongues? Guess where they get that stuff from? From the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, yes, you will find speaking in tongues. Yes, you will find healing by miracles. Yes, you will find people getting healed by simply laying of hands. The problem is with the charismatics and the modern cults, you know what they do? They would refer to those verses to say that there's still healing. There's still miraculous healing in the modern times, but there is not. They're still speaking in tongues when it has ceased. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, when you look at the book of Acts, you have to take care. You have to be very careful when you look at this book, because this book is commonly used by the cults and false teachers to teach false doctrine. If you're a hyper-dispensationalist, you would have the inclination to believe that the church began in Acts chapter 2 when it did not. The church began in the book of Matthew by Jesus Christ. But the hyper-dispensationalist has that inclination that the church began in Acts chapter 2. But if in reality, Acts chapter 2 was not the beginning of the church, it was a revival of the church. As the Holy Spirit descended on the church, on the apostles, that they, as they ministered, there was a change. There are three conditions that change in the book of Acts that we must be aware of as Christians. The first condition is this: there was a shift from the apostle to the Jews to the apostle to the Gentiles. If you look at the first chapters of the book of Acts, you will find Peter as the predominant apostle. And Peter is the apostle to the Jews. But if you look at chapter 9 all the way to chapter 28, the predominant apostle is the Apostle Paul, who was an apostle to the Gentiles. You see, there's that transition in the book of Acts from the apostle to the Jews to the Gentiles. And secondly, there's a transition in location. From Jerusalem in chapter 1, there's a change into the uttermost. That's the second transition that happens in the book of Acts. And finally, there's a transition from the teaching on the gospel of the kingdom into the gospel of grace. We'll talk about that in Sunday school more if you don't understand what that means. There's a difference. You see, when Jesus Christ came initially, he came initially for the Jews. If you remember our message in Matthew chapter 15 about the woman of Canaan, you remember that? What did Jesus Christ say? Jesus Christ said, "I did not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See, that's the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was supposed to establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, but the Jews rejected him. Do you remember? But praise God that the Jews rejected him. The gospel then shifted to the gospel of grace, through which we are saved. Amen. It's a blessing. That's your doctrinal implication when you're approaching the book of Acts. Now let's get to our text. Let's go to exposition of Acts chapter 5. Are you with me? See, the calling of a pastor, the calling of a preacher is not merely preaching, it is teaching. Amen. And my goal in all of my messages is that I will be able to teach you something. Amen? Let's look at our text. There's this man. Look at verse 33. When they heard how they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. So there was this man who was a member of the council by the name of Gamaliel. No, the Bible says that he was a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee, there were different sects. Different sects in the during the time of Jesus Christ that you should be aware of. A Pharisee, here's the differences between a Pharisee, a Sadducee, and an Essene, a Nazarene, and a Zealot. There are differences, okay? Here's how they are different. Number one, a Pharisee is a group of people, is a sect that, yes, they believe in Scripture, but they like to add their tradition to their Scripture. The Pharisees believe not only in the Scripture, but they also believe in oral tradition. Okay? And if you remember, the Pharisees would often argue with the Sadducees because the Pharisees believe in the eternity of the soul, that the soul has eternity. In comparison, the Sadducee was more of a stricter religion. They only observed the written law, and they did not believe that the soul goes on to heaven, to life after this life. They believe that the soul, when a person dies, it goes into the grave. And oftentimes a Pharisee and a Sadducee would get into arguments about what happens to the soul when it dies. But there's another group, there's the Essenes. The Essenes believe also in the immortality of the soul, but they were more of a secluded group. If you go on the internet, you'll find images in the Middle East of those people that are wearing white robes. If you see, Middle Eastern people, they like to wear white robes as opposed to the rest of the people. They stand out. Well, those people in the biblical times are called the Essenes. And those people, they lived such a secluded life, and they believe that in order to live a pure and holy life, they could not intermingle. They were like monks of that time. And then there's also the Nazarenes in Acts chapter 24, verse 5. And there's the Zealots. Now the Zealots agreed with the Pharisee, except they desired liberty. And they never submitted to the authority of the Jewish teachers or the Roman government. They believed that only God is their leader. Simon was one of the Zealots. So you'll find Gamaliel... This man was a Pharisee. So you understand that he believed not only in the Word of God, but he also believed in oral tradition. Secondly, the second thing we find about Gamaliel is that he's not only a Pharisee, but he was a doctor of the law. He was a teacher of the law in the synagogues. In the early times, there were no churches. Okay? They had synagogues. And they were commanded on the Sabbath day to meet in the synagogues. And the doctors of the law, Gamaliel was one of them, would open up the Word of God and he would explain the law to them. Such was this man, Gamaliel. But one thing I like about this man, Gamaliel, is that he was a wise council member. If you look at this text, he says in verse 35, "And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching this man." Gamaliel is wise. First, we'll see he speaks, he gives a counsel based on experience. He gives them a counsel based on experience. If you look at verse 36, he says, "For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody." Verse 37, he says, "After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and many perished when they obeyed him and they were dispersed." See, Gamaliel gives him a counsel based on experience, a counsel based on reason, and then finally, he gives him a counsel that was righteous and that is godly. If you look at verse 38 now. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone." Look at the righteous counsel of this Pharisee. He says, "For if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught. You know what Gamaliel was advising them is that you do not go against the apostles. Because we learned in our experience that there were people that rose up just like the apostles. They had a following and they died. And they were, some of them were dispersed. And he says, he gives them a righteous counsel. He says, if this counsel or if this work be of man, it will come to naught. He says, man, you want to find out if the apostles are of God or of men? Just wait and see. Time will tell if they are of men or they are of God. If they are of men, their work will cease. We've seen that by experience. And if they are of God, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Verse 39 says, but if, look at what Gamaliel says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. He says, if lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Can I remind you, church, is your spiritual application. And can I encourage you that as long as this church is doing the work of God, there's nothing that can go against this church to abolish this church. As long as this church is obeying the will of God, is preaching the word of God, is teaching and doing the commandments of God, there's nothing that you can do to close down this church. Amen? Amen. Oh, you can bring the lawyers in. You can bring the lawyers association, that ACLU in. You can bring them in. You can bring any association in. To shut down this church, you cannot go against the will of God. The Bible says that if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. If you try to go against the will of God, stand by. Because you are fighting against God. Amen? Amen? The question is this. You see, every one of us will come to a point where we have to make a decision. Whether are we going to be against God or are we going to be for God? Oftentimes we have our own little imaginations and plans of how we want things done in the church. We have our own preferences and personalities and policies and procedures that we want in place. We have our own preferences on the collar of the curtain. We have our own favorite seats to sit on. And we quarrel about those things. But can I remind you that you cannot go against the principles of God, that everyone in this congregation must make a decision. Are you going to be against God or are you going to be for God? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. What did Joshua say to the Israelites that were led by God into the land of Canaan? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember that? Joshua, in leading the Israelites into the promised land, he tells them, let's go there real quick. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Look at this text, last chapter of the book. Joshua chapter number 24, verse 15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Joshua says, for us me, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, everyone, you and I, each and every one of us, must come to a point in our lives when we have to make a decision. Are you going to be for God or are you going to be against God? It does not matter how old you are. You may be a teenager. You may be in your 20s. You may be in your 30s. You could be in your 70s and 80s, ladies and gentlemen. You could be in your deathbed. And you will come to the point when you must make a decision. Am I going to go for God or against God? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in James chapter 4, verse 4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You must choose one or the other. Can I address you young people in this congregation? One day, it's just a matter of time. You cannot run away from God. You have to make a decision whether you're going to live for God or not. Oh, fathers in this congregation, you must choose you this day whether you're going to lead your family to serve God or not. You men in this church, we must choose whether we're going to continue to serve God or not. Amen. Amen. Everyone will come to that point. And let me close with this. And you say, no, I still have time. I don't have to be saved right now. I'm not ready for it. I'm telling you. There, you cannot run away from it. You will come face to face with God, and you will have to make that decision. There is no running away. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let me close with these verses. Philippians chapter 2. Whether you like it or not, you will make a decision for God. Philippians chapter 2 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Are you paying attention to your Bible? Do you think you can escape from God? Do you think you can run away from God? The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. You must make a decision. We must make a daily decision whether we're going to live our day serving God or we're going to live our day serving our flesh. Whether we're going to live our life, we're going to lead our families into serving God, or we are going to live for ourselves. There comes a point in each and every one of our lives when we must make a decision. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, but everyone will come to that day. Everyone has an appointed time when you will come to meet with the Savior. And my prayer is, it will not be too late. Every head bow, every eye closed. Would you stand with me? Every head bow, every eye closed. My question is, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Jesus Christ said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You must choose whether you want to fight against God or be on God's side. As the piano plays, would you rededicate your life today if you are a Christian? If you know for sure that heaven is your home, but you've been away from the Lord, will you rededicate your life today? And tell God, Lord, today I am deciding, I am making that decision, that conscious, rational decision to choose to live for you. Use me, God. And if you are not saved today, can I remind you, can I warn you, I beg you, Whether you like it or not, you will face the holy God. Will you decide to follow him today as every head is bowed, every eye is closed? The altar is open. Would you come today? Would you tell God, would you promise God, Lord, as the father of my household, I dedicate my life and my family to serve you. As a member of this church, will you tell God this morning, Lord, thank you for bringing me here into this church. Thank you for giving me another chance to rededicate my life to you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The altar is open. Maybe you don't belong to a church or you've never followed scriptural baptism. Would you submit to God today? Would you choose him today? One more verse. Lift up your heads and open to hymn number.
We're going to sing a verse of 487. 487.
Closes in prayer, Brother Pat.
Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you that we were able to meet in your house and worship you. We have the ability to do that here, Father, in our country. Just pray for our country. Pray,
yes.
Father, for your hand to be upon this country. Watch over our police. We just ask God that you would
dismissed.